I think I can salvage most of that thing and retape it. we were talking about the about this guy McKernan, you know. McKernan was in early Mary Athabasca.
Oh, Jim McKernan.
Yeah.
And Melvin, he had about three girls, and Melvin just died here, less than a year ago. I saw his obituary in the paper. He had a homestead right up East Hill, first on top of the hill there, off on the north side of the road.
Well, now, do you remember when Billy Renison filed on a homestead?
Billy, Jimmy Renison here first. He went down to Wabasca and worked for
Hudson Bay?
No.
Secord?
Wasn't it the old heavy fella had part black men out west there for readings filing that old Dick, what the hell is his name? Goddamn name won't come up.
No, you know, it was not Secord.
No.
Did Colin Fraser ever do any trading? Did you know him?
I knew his son. Well, he was a trader. But you take old Cornwall, had three outfit up on Lesser Slave Lake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Three partners.
They call it Sarib's then.
Yes. Yeah. I'm trying to think of that old guy that the boys built the lot from that they have up there at High Prairie. I'm this old Swede.
Oh, yeah?
He's always looking for a mic of mine.
Tell Tony what you told me about the Silver Fox industry, because that is something I never heard about before.
What about different...
About the foxes,
yeah. Oh. This country's just running over foxes. He wasn't in the western thing, see. Oh, the black foxes. Anybody can make a black fox. Silvers and crosses, what they wanted. In a den, it's supposed to be five pups in there. They'd be a silver and all mixed together, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And they started shipping them out, old Billy and a fellow named Hingley. Mm-hmm. So he was fur buyer for live foxes, it wasn't fur. Hingley came in here buying live foxes. And they make crates and put them in the shipping way down to Prince Edward Island. Everybody out across the river had foxes.
Is that right?
Archie Gorman had a partner, that's what he filed on that piece of land for. So he could put a net in the river down and get enough fish to feed his foxes.
I've never heard that before. Yeah,
well, he had a bush great on the other side of his barn down there.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy bush and had fox pens.
When did Hingley come here?
Huh?
When did Hingley arrive here? He wasn't one of the early pioneers, was he?
Well, he's buying live foxes, and that's one of the first.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. He must have been out of the homestead then, or when he first came, wasn't he? He had a few.
No, he said it was already Fox. Right.
Blair?
No, over west, rather. It don't matter anyway, but.
There was a Crystal Lodge over in the
yes.
west.
Yes. No, and Conroy ran that. Hingley was buying live foxes. As he came here to buy live foxes. And he went in first.
When he was buying rabbits.
Oh, God.
And that pile of dead rabbit carcasses up the back there, about yeah. 20 feet high.
Yeah. And in that pile, everything went in there, you know. When that one Hingley's brother came in here trading things up, after old Hingley stopped.
Mm-hmm.
He swear to God, if you're looking at it from the back, he swear to old Hingley. But he's a smaller man, Hingley. Remember how rough old Hingley's neck was, his pox mark? I don't know what the hell, that smallpox from the other. Yeah.
I wish I had a memory like that.
The Jews in Edmonton bought all Hingley's stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
The Army and Navy. Wasn't it what they call themselves? They're still in business.
Yeah, the Army and Navy.
Yeah.
Todd, I got word the other day that the ferry broke loose and went down the river.
So it did.
Not once, but twice, because I was the next car to that ferry. The last time it broke down, I would have been the next car on, and so I saw the whole thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that when old, what is his name, the baker, Johnson?
Oh, Chris Johnson, yes.
Chris Johnson. When Chris Johnson was the ferryman.
Yes, I know.
It broke loose and went down the river. Do you remember that?
Yes. Was that something to do with an airplane?
No, that was the last time. Well, I'm talking about the first time.
Oh, I missed it. I forgot what. Gap in there somewhere.
Do you remember the first time?
I probably did, because I filed over on my homestead in 1911.
Well, Johnson filed on the homestead in North River.
Yes. Oh, Chris.
Yeah.
One thing I remember is when they were bringing your wife across, when she was sick, and they were bringing her across on the cage.
She wasn't in a bag.
The river had risen, yeah. And we put the, down into the water.
Well, you see that motor right in there. You couldn't get this hot in, we had right there. And we took and put poles, and she was sitting out over the river on just timber shoved through there.
Yeah.
Because she was on a stretcher, right?
Charlie Daniel.
Oh.
Oh, she had a rheumatic fever.
That was the time Jeff Koch was operating that ferry?
No.
No, this was the cage.
That's what I mean.
Wasn't it Rosie LaPorte? Wasn't Rosie operating it?
I think it's Jeff Koch. That got caught in the ice.
Yeah.
No, Mrs. Donahue, you know, one of those clevises let loose and just hung one clevis. God.
She was on it?
Huh?
Is that right?
They let it down. They got a ladder. There you go.
Well, I was there when that ferry got caught in the ice.
Is that right?
And,
the ferry or the cable?
The cage. You may have been there too, because half the town was there.
Well, I went down after.
And, we're standing watching this thing. What happened, you see, there was a gap about this big in the base of the cage. And a big chunk of ice came and got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And added the weight of the ice to the cage. So, of course, the cage sunk. And there was ice coming down the river and banging against this cage.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Slim Nelson was one of the crowd that was there. And he watched this for a little while, and he hollered. He said, "Come on, you guys, get on the cable." So everybody that could ran over, and you know how the cable sloped down?
Mm-hmm.
Slim was the first guy, and of course, being pretty tall, he got pretty high up on that cage, and I suppose it'd be 30 or 40 men held onto this cable, and they just got enough slack
to get it out of the water.
To get it started out of the water, and another cake of ice came down and hit it and tilted it enough that the cake of ice that was in there slid out. And that was a pretty scary.
Wasn't Rosie operating at that time?
I thought it was Jeff Koch, but I'm not sure.
You could be right. But
well, there was a fellow related to Bissell on there for a long time. Charlie's brother-in-law.
No, I vaguely remember that, but I can't place Charlie Bissell's brother-in-law.
I try to think what his name is, but it don't matter.
Todd, can you remember who all the members of the legislature were in this place after?
See, I was new in the country, Frank.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm thinking about after that. Mackay. And then there was a guy named... was it Keltner, or the UFA member? No, this place never did vote, did elect the UFA member.
Well, Tade.
Tade was social credit.
Yeah, he left his seat. He gave his seat to...
C.C. Ross. C.C. Ross.
Yeah.
Eberhard didn't have an engineer in there, and he wanted an engineer from the Minister of Energy. And Tade resigned, and he got a government appointment, and Ross took the seat, and then Ross resigned.
You're not interested in Tade, that's what I just...
Yeah, maybe we should.
I think we should.
Yeah. Come on. I think we should.
1915, eh?
Yeah. You see, here's the Vance estate.
Yeah.
And
the business manager
in this building. Yes, he was. Now Clawson.
Never.
This was where
the road is,
and this is where Menard was.
Oh, yes, I know.
You remember that? The mm-hmm. house is still there, but it's.
Well, the road must be over here then, because it's west of the road, wasn't it?
Well, of course, those aren't roads.
No,
those aren't roads.
Survey,
those are just surveys. Yeah.
Yeah.
See Victoria Avenue. That must be out about Archie Ryan's old place. Florence Street. And there's a street named after the old Dominion Land Surveyor. One after Charlie Gagne.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's where Menard made all his money. But Daniel made a lot of money in the Klondike, didn't he?
Daniel is... There's three people come in there from the north. There's Bud Dumphy. Been up in the Klondike.
Yes.
And George Hess.
Yes.
George got as far as... Well, he went up Leicester Lake up there with the Indians. And... Bud up here and
I think Dunphy's mentioned in that paper that you're reading, Tony.
Pardon?
I think this Dunphy is mentioned in that paper that you're reading.
Dunphy?
Yeah.
Well, it was Lee and Lee's lived all his life down here at Oliver, mentally wrong. I ran into him all years ago when Aggie had that mental illness, remember? And my daughter, Aggie.
Yeah.
And I ran into him down at Oliver. He was an old man then.
And he was one of the ones that came in after the Klondike.
He was interested in the old Star Theater. Lee Dumphy was.
Yeah. The other thing you'll notice about that paper. Notice how flattering they are about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You would assume, notice what they wrote about the mayor. They're writing about the mayor now, and it'd all be criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, but every paper, every article there is praising somebody.
An old trust at homestead right out west there. Oh, it's about, I think that's it.
See, Tom, how long would Tress have been around here? Because...
Huh?
How long would Tress have been around here?
Did he have more than one paper?
Who, Tress?
Yeah.
We had two papers here, but the other didn't last very long.
See, there's the... Now, here's the Athabasca Times from 1913.
Well, you see, that was the other paper.
Would that be Truss again?
No. I forget who the heck it is. Maybe he's going to build a $4,000. You know, it's just Jack Keith was the manager of Elvis. Uncle this Keith out here. The Bushcatchman, and this uncle out here didn't know it. The other fellows, he knew in Canada someone end up the same damn town.
That's right.
Well, that's interesting, you see, because when I was going to normal school, which was in 1935 or 1936, there was a girl named Mary Keith in going at the same time, and she knew who I was. I don't know how, but she did anyway. And she invited me down to dinner one night at her family's place. And her father was
Katie Johnson.
Keith.
Oh, Chris had three.
Keith.
And he was the manager of the fur buying department in Hudson Bay in Edmonton.
Yes.
At that time. And this was, it's the same Keith that's out here, is it?
Yes. He's an uncle to old Jack Keith out here. He's got that little girl that they pack around, mm-hmm. you know. Well, you know, there was a half-breed in here, Felix Kellyo. Does that ring a bell, though?
No.
Well, the Revias hired him because he could talk Cree. And he just buggered around the store a little bit, you see. And anyway, he had a furnace in that store, a Revias little store. And that this Kellyo was supposed to get up there in the morning, and poor Jack Keith's manager came and heat the building up.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to get a little bit of lemons, not bananas or oranges, but lemons, to get a case of lemons. And so Kellyo went down to the store early, cold weather, and he went down the basement. And on the way down the basement, he grabbed some paper off of the lemon, lemons wrapped, you see, mm-hmm. stuck it in his pocket. And he went down to the store and he fixed up the furnace, and left the furnace door open because he didn't have electric lights in there, you know. And he'd take an old newspaper, put down on the floor, you know, do his morning job on that, fold it up and stick it in the furnace. And he was just, he picked up this lemon paper when he went through the office, mm-hmm. you know, for mm-hmm. the store, going down the basement. And he just got nicely going down there, and old Jack Keith called him, wanted him to come right up, but he had some Indians that couldn't talk English, you know. So he grabbed up his morning chores on the sugar, threw him in the furnace, and he'd taken this paper off a lemon. And stuck in his pocket to use for bone butter, you know.
mm-hmm.
So he went up and before he went home for dinner, he had to go and get some bread over at Johnson's Big Shop. And he went to get the $10 bill out of his pocket. He found a lemon wrapped. So he had the $10 bill in his pockets, you know, and he put the lemon wrapper in on top. He was going down to have a crap.
he
wiped his ass on a $10 bill.
Spent some time.
Oh, that went all over town. Even the women didn't tell, that's right. Yeah. Old Felix Kellyo. But he lived with old lady McLeod. Remember John McLeod, a very religious man?
Yes.
Well, he had a lot of good teams. Well, he had about eight damn nice teams, you know, good teams.
Yeah.
And he lived up the East Hill in a great big house.
Now, wait a minute. You're talking about the John McLeod that is Bill McLeod's brother?
No relation to any McLeod.
Oh, no relation.
This fellow's a big...
I don't remember him then.
No. Even Clara McKinley claimed that he wasn't anybody named McLeod. But McLeod was here in 1912. Mm-hmm. And he followed the railroad north. He mm-hmm. took his team and went north out of here.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
But he's very religious, and his wife got tired of his damn religion, and she went living with Felix Kellyo.
Oh, yeah.
At least shack across the river on that first flat.
You know, there's a picture here that we have got to show you because it's something that I've been trying to tie down. I don't know that I can talk about it. But on the first flat across the river,
yes.
Were there ever any houses?
Quite a bunch.
Well, you're the first person I ever talked to that knew anything about that. Because we've been trying to tie this down.
Old Frank Wing had a shack there, and Felix Kellyo had a shack.
Across the river
mm-hmm.
from the flat there.
First flat.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I built a little barn to hold one horse. No, two horses. Because kids driving in, going to school to higher grades, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to ride down and couldn't leave a horse stand out all day in the wintertime. I built a little barn. Oh, of course they were all new to me then, day, you know. See, that's a big prairie there, isn't it? Or is that a boat?
No, that's a boat.
That's a boat.
I think it's a boat. And that oddly enough reminds me that it could be Harvey Cullen. But those houses, Todd, I don't remember anything about them.
No. So they weren't there if you still?
I bet if we went over there, Tony, we'd find those foundations.
When we were kids,
but,
no.
Betty said maybe they're waiting for you to take it in there.
No.
So here you are.
Hello there.
Hello, how are you?
How are you?
Good. Good. Warm enough for you?
Just about.
I'll bring in another cup.
No, that's fine. I have to go. Thank you.
Oh.
Thanks.
But these pictures on the boat, Frank. Have you got some of them pictures? I can always tell your dad. He always puts his hat back.
Oh yeah, we have quite a collection of pictures here. Just watch these.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Here's one. Can you tell us anything about any of these guys? Here is. You'll never forget him as Alec McLeod.
Alec McLeod.
Yeah. And there's my father. Thanks, Irene.
Oh, you're welcome.
Your dad, where?
Right there.
Oh, you got it. He must have learned to push his hat back.
He's pushed his hat back.
Yeah. Because he gets a light in his face.
Do you remember any of these other guys?
Well, pretty
was that guess. Major McLeod?
Good, I wouldn't know.
Got the tea, Tony. You're welcome.
No thanks, Frank.
What are you taking your tea, Todd?
Just sugar. Just about half a spoon. Oh,
Where was that? Where were they curling then?
Well, the first curling rink that I can remember was down on the Twatna Creek.
On the flat.
On the
creek itself or beside the creek?
Beside the creek.
Yeah.
On the flat, yeah.
Well, they had curling rinks all over. Then they went up the creek there, you know, and they stayed up there 2 or 3 years.
They also had one where where the liquor vendors is now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand. I heard J.P. Evans talk about that. The time he was curling and he tore his pants or something, his pants split and somebody had to sew them up for him right on the spot or some damn thing.
That's your dad over there, eh?
That curling rink, though, where the liquor vendors is now, I think it was open air.
It was outside,
yeah.
Yes. I believe
there was a skating rink there.
Good.
Then they moved it right across the street.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the one I remember when I was a kid.
And that was where the hockey rink was, too.
Mm-hmm. Right side by side. There's two-sheeter curling. Well, that's where I first curled in that over in family.
I guess I did, too.
Yeah.
Well, Billy Williams and somebody had a contract to make that ice there. They put a dejector in a pipe just across enough. Put steam in there and jug for water be held.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and no valve at all.
No, this is the one the morning after the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And there's old A. Greer's real estate office. Do you remember where that was? Is that the old government telegraph office?
No, this is a creamery. The Revia's warehouse didn't burn. That warehouse didn't burn. Well, Revia's didn't burn when the town burned up, you know.
No, I don't. What happened to Revia's store? Did it burn?
Seemed to me it did later on.
What was that store that was out at the west end out there by...
Lassard. Jack Lassard moved out there be out of the high rent.
In the west end, they had, before he built the one down here.
I remember.
Two banks burned up there, right? By the Royal Cafe. There's a fellow named Lowe. Well, they built that house up there. Out there were Bissell's bought it later on, right up the hill east of the United Church. That was built in 1912, that house that I told
them. Oh, yeah.
And
What banks burned? Do you remember?
Bank of Commerce. And they, Dan Vino. I know I got $15 a night for Watson, that damn furnace. or the safe was so damn hot. A little building they burned up like kindling wood. And I was just ready to come out the homestead, and along comes the bank manager, Hamilton. He wanted me to, and the insurance man. Yeah, and he wanted me to watch their safes. He offered me $15 a night to watch the safe. Mm-hmm. And he went up to Imperial Bank, and a fellow named Royd, or something.
No,
he had a 45 gun. Well, the other fellow was scared of it. I was. He'd never come near me. Mm-hmm. And then I went down the Lang Block, and the fellow had a restaurant in there to get my, and I got my supper at midnight, you know.
Yeah,
I worked all night.
The restaurant in the corner there.
That was the bus depot. He must be
in the old Lang Block.
Further down, about three doors down.
Was it?
That's right.
Trust me, this Englishman saw it in there too.
Well, Parker saw it in the Lang Block one time.
That's what I understand, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when he was first started.
Yeah.
Well, was Parker a Hudson Bay man? Originally?
Was that?
Was Parker a Hudson Bay man originally?
No. Charlie Parker took a job of looking after Renison's confectionery and dishes. That's Renison. And well, one of them went to the old country for a visit.
You know, one of my favorite stories about Renison, he was very absent-minded. And he used to bring in a lot of English white china, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he got so when he was getting old that that he would, if somebody told him what they wanted, he would repeat it to himself all the time. You know? And when he was walking to get it, and he had a store full of people one day. And this guy comes in, and he's standing around the door, you know. And finally, Renison walked in and asked him what he wanted. And the guy said, "I want a chamber." Renison said, "What? Chamber? Chamber? What's that?" The guy says, "This pot." And Jimmy takes off. So he kept the china at the back of the store. "This pot, this pot, this pot." And Renison did a big business, you know. He'd always have a bunch of people in there.
He'd always, Renison, get the old Billy or Jimmy get drunk about once a year. And your dad is in this right in the middle here.
Oh, yeah, but that is not Athabasca. That picture should not be in there.
Mm-hmm.
That got in there by accident. That's from his hometown in North Dakota when he was very young. Now,
That's it.
Case was a bank manager.
Probably need an air conditioner in here, don't you?
Oh, it gets awful hot. It gets terribly hot in this place. They're talking about, I guess it's the library very hot and... where Mike's story is now, there was a three-story building.
Yes. Another... Diamond Peace River, I think they called it. And there's a lot of metal in it. You know, metal.
There were a lot of French people in Athabasca in the early days, weren't there?
Yeah. Old Ike was a big guy, you know. Hard to port. When the hell is hard to port? Roy Norton, jeweler. You remember Roy, I guess.
No.
Okay.
No, I've seen the name, but I don't remember. I don't remember Norton.
He lived in the Methodist Hall.
Now, as I understand, that Methodist Hall was just fairly close to where the old Royal Cafe was.
About. It's about.
And they sold that in the land boom speculation and used the money to build the United Church.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what they got. I never did find out. You know, when they opened the bridge here, they wanted to had to use the old cookhouse there for display of all the old pictures. And I went down to stand there, a case of 30 by 30 glass. But people steal them pictures, you know. Oh, people you never expect. Oh, I had that picture, Dad's in that picture.
Yeah.
And that old uncle of mine, old Alec here, was up from New York,
say, one thing I want to ask you about. Did Dave Keir at one time make bricks?
No, but I can't find old Todd Chile in here. All these pictures, old Chile was always first in the picture.
Shelley.
T-H-I-L-E-T. Chile. I don't know how the hell they call him Chile. He's a pretty important guy.
Did he make bricks?
Yes. Your dad must have lost some money in that, did he?
I don't remember. I don't know. The only person I remember making bricks was Hops.
Oh, yeah, the old brick mason.
From Manuk.
Well, he was a brick mason. The old fellow I tore down.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else, Frank. On the old hotel, they had posts that held that balcony up. Mm-hmm. They're 5 feet away from a window. Right due out from the window, there's a post that held it out. And old Oliver had a team run away with a cutter. They went way up the river and turned around and come back. And they went between the post in that window and didn't break the window. And it's only 5 feet. How the hell did you get a team of horses on a cutter through a the cutter just turned up on edges, see?
Yeah.
He never. Gee. Bring it back old time. Jack is D-U-B-O-R.
Dubor and Core. And I don't remember those names at all.
Oh, yeah, sir.
Here's Lance Smith.
He came back here after a long he was actually working for some life fire insurance out there. Come back, he's examining their coverage, you know.
Oh, yeah. And there's a picture of Truss, according to. Or one of them.
I remember this that old car, Keir, said. Mrs. Keir, right there in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That was taken, where in the hell is it up your way? That square house, where in the hell is that anyway?
That.
I think I've had that picture somewhere. There's your dad.
Yeah.
Oh, the women.
Yeah. Where did What did Charlie Dallas do when he first came here? He was a contractor, was he, or a cement?
Charlie Dallas was a cement man. And oh, he had cement. It was so damn hard. It's been wet, you know, probably 2 or 3 years old. But he homesteaded out there.
4 miles out west?
Yeah.
Where Steve Haley is now.
Yes. Charlie Dallas, he's a long time.
Oh, yes. Before we forget, when we were coming in, you were telling me about the Bedford stone that went into the old brick school.
Oh, yes.
Was the whole foundation built of this Bedford stone?
No, it's just the trim of the building.
It's a trim.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That's supposed to be the best limestone there is in the United States. They ship that limestone all the steel mills. I don't know how they use it, but in sloughing off iron to make steel, they have to use ground up rock. And they, years ago, they used to dump it in the stone quarry when they got done with it. And they had a bucket, buckets, and they're lined with clay. And they're on wheels, and they tip over. And then before they load them again, they got to line that damn bucket again.
Hmm.
And it looked damn funny. When I was a kid, we used to go out in around the steel mills and see them dumping that liquid rock, you know, or steel, I don't know what the, and they go down in the water and bubble up, see a rock floating off, you know, have more cavity.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Yes, those are nice pictures. Old man Vilsmeyer tore down this fellow that had the photograph outfit there. Yeah, there's a lot of old pictures around somewhere. Where they are, I don't know.
You know, there's something that
Conquest, I... Conquest.
There's something that I have been trying to get. You know, of course, where our old house was. Where it still is.
Yes.
There was a photographic studio across from that.
Yes.
And when the earliest I can remember, that thing had closed down and whoever was in it had gone. But there was a studio there.
Mm-hmm.
And on the south side of the building, there was a huge skylight. So it was built for a... Have you any idea?
Well, they had a...
Who owned that place?
Yes, Hudson Bay. Owned all that corner in there. That the whole block. Where Dr. Brown is.
Of course, this is farther up. I'm talking about
yes.
Right across, and they owned the whole lot.
Yes. But
did you have any idea who that photographer was?
Yes, I do. It is a... a fellow named Brown. I had him. You see Brown's photography quite often, but I was trying to think of... It's secure.
Would it be Mathers by any chance?
Huh?
Would it be Mathers by any chance? Or Mathers?
Well, I was trying to think of who in the hell he was. This guy, I bet you that's your dad right there, leaning up against a tree.
Yep, I think so.
And there he is there. Funny, I could always pick him out. He always pushed his hat back. He started pushing his hat back. And that's old Jim Cornwall there, eh? Oh, Lad Smith, I mean.
Now, you see, here is a bunch of much older pictures.
Much older. Some of them even before you came here.
Gee, there was a fortune.
Now, those are Bannerman, Mrs. Bannerman.
Bannerman was the manager of Revy.
Oh, was he?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was manager of the Hudson Bay.
By God, you're right, Frank. I'm wrong. Harry Bannerman. And he finally went down. See that warehouse there? That was a Hudson Bay or a Northern Transportation warehouse. God, there's a lot of warehouses there.
Yeah, it stands to reason that there would be a huge number of warehouses. Because
you see, all those horses, all those teams, they get haul freight from Edmond in the wintertime, 15 cents a hundred.
Mm-hmm.
And the summer on wheels, old Metcalf. You remember him, wouldn't you?
Tom Metcalf?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember him.
Well, he ended up with that old black team. He hauled for... Oh, too many years. And one of his boys was buried at sea. George Metcalf. Oh, what the hell?
Now, did Britt Taylor come over here originally as a boat builder?
No. I don't know what he... He built that coin boat. Geez, that was a wonderful building.
Well, coin must have taken over a boat from Cornwall.
No, he was down the river, down at Pelican. Coin was.
But Coin had a very big layout in Athabasca.
Yes, well, he built a big, big office there, the old Northern Transportation office.
Coin built that?
Huh?
Coin built that, did he?
Yes.
Well, that's still there. That's Rebel Stroke Lumber. It's been rebuilt.
It started out just a house, so it was a... Coiner was quite a promoter. I rode to Edmund with his driller. God, he was sore. He swore to God they had oil down Pelican. He said they were, Coiner was, he'd sell a share in that.
Actually, all he had was gas, wasn't it?
Didn't have any. Huh, old Father DeMar.
Yeah.
And that's old Greer, that beggar there, eh?
Yeah.
That's old Chili there, too. I'm trying to find a picture of Chili here.
I don't think we know anybody in that picture.
I can't get a focus on. Anyway, I know about when it was taken, though. They had a picnic up these hills. Oh, the old building is Moose. That was 1910. That was taken. He drove down to the exhibition. Well, these pictures look familiar, but I can't
Do you remember that famous football team we had in Athabasca?
Mm-hmm.
Won a championship of some kind?
Old Bill Denny's demos. He liked publicity. You know, when they, the boys, one year I had a job with old Norman Jack, looking after transferring telephones down in Colleton. And I went down there, and old Bill was there, living with Forrest. And he never come over to Athabasca. He was here 2 months. And then he went over to Boyle and went down and back. But he didn't tell me what he told Whiteley, that partner of his in the north was his son, from his squaw woman, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Husky, I guess. Yeah, I remember when this was built. Not that I had anything to do with it. That's still up there, isn't it?
Who is it?
Isn't that Karen, that stone building? Or?
Yeah, that's the Legion.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Bayless built most of that. And Harry Bayless, by the way, came over here first as a bookkeeper for coin.
Yeah.
That was what his first...
Was it coin or...
No, it's just coin.
I was thinking of the lumberman.
I remember him telling me about that. Hello.
Frankie, am I overstaying my...
Mm-mm. I haven't got a thing to do. You can stay as long as you want.
Here's the old Keir Hall.
Yep.
There's a school over there. You know, the lumber for that school, old Alec, he tells me, we cut right out, right in the road lots, off of the West Bridge there.
It's interesting.
1913, well, I was here. I helped on that Catholic church up there, or that hospital. I had to get my pipe from your dad's store, take it out to old Fred. That's the old Rebbe's store.
Romeo Farrell.
Romeo Farrell, yeah.
Which one was he? Is he in the picture?
He's a small man. I can't get enough.
Good.
This is a hardware man, that Rogers. I think he had something to do with that other newspaper, too. No, I can't identify any of them. Romy probably going. Everybody had to ride that damn train to Edmonton, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Romy. Yeah. Bought a new pipe and he's showing it to me and they had the damn windows open in the train. He filled his pipe and puffed it a couple of times and instead of throwing the match out the window, he threw the damn pipe out the window. And he never did get his pipe.
Thanksgiving Day 16. Something else we know.
This is Gullion. Billy Mins. God, these are all pictures nice, aren't they?
Yeah.
What is this, Brian? A boat or something?
A boat that they are building. I don't know which one.
They built two, you know, the Hudson Bay built two boats here. They were working on it when I come in. The old telegraph office. See, the Imperial Bank is right in there. And then the fire got onto the sidewalk. Jesus. The old Dutchman and Billy Williams had a ladder up the back and they took old salt sacks and put it all over the telegraph office.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of seeds. Some of these guys.
Can you pick Ike Gagne out of that bunch?
Ike Gagne?
Yeah.
That's old Trust. Yeah. Yes, there's Ike.
Oh, yeah.
He wore a mustache. Where the hell is old Chili? He ought to be here. He is, too. Come on. Eyes are getting off of them tired. That's your dad right there, isn't it? No, I don't.
No.
You don't, I don't think it is.
I should maybe take you back and bring it down again. So, because we got a lot of, you know, other stuff for you to go through.
This is the warehouse up there where Dr. Brown. I think it is, taken right up across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Full length of that lot.
Well, I remember that warehouse. Not the warehouse, but I remember the wreckage of it. Mm-hmm. It had either burned or...
And the first wheat was bought, was put in there. And we put a petition in the Carver Olds, and the first wheat went out here. It was only about 20 sacks. Old George Spence said, wheat.
Do you remember who grew the first wheat that went out?
Yes. Old Louis Menard, right across the river there.
Mm-hmm.
Old Groening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's right there.
1909. Mm-hmm. Louis Menard. Fall wheat. Oh, it's soft wheat. Well, Frankie, I think we better call it a day.
Well, I'd like you to come back again. Because
there's a lot of history in that town.
Oh, yeah.
Got old rain tonight. We talk half the night.
Who is there? The
with Micah.
Oh, I
that's
see.
Why I offered a man for Micah.
They were insulating their boats with Micah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For insulation. To compete with the English boats, the freight carrier of the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they used to mine gold, or when they used to pan for gold on the Athabasca River?
Yes. Oh, that's recent.
Yeah. Somebody spent a lot of time there.
Well, that's during the Depression. Old Harvey Trois. Well, Harvey wasn't an old man. He'd broken his leg, and he couldn't... And he worked down there, and they had a dredge. And they wanted to get the gravel out of the bottom of the river there, you know. God, they lost a good many bottles of mercury in that old river.
Well, Tupper.
Yeah, Alvin Tupper spent in some time there.
Tupper put in some time, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I guess that's about all he did around this prospect, wasn't it?
Well, Tupper's wife had a store, you know. And then she sold out to Jimmy Renison. In the, right next to your dad's store there.
Mm-hmm.
And Tupper would come to town, he'd go and eat with he and his wife were separated. He'd go and eat at her place and always pay her for his meal.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd better.